Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvi Navaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
Let's chant from 54 to the bottom of 55 from the Proverbs and Proverbs. That's really starting right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Prarabdham karma kim.
Prarabdham karma kim.
Iti chet.
Iti chet.
Idam shariram utpadyeha.
Idam shariram utpadyeha.
Lokamevam.
Lokamevam
sukha dukhadi praptam pradam
sukha dukhadi pradam yat karma
tat prarabdham
tat prarabdham
bhogena nashtam
bhogena nashtam
bhavati
bhavati
prarabdha karmanam
prarabdha karmanam
Bhogadeva kshaya.
Bhogadeva kshaya.
Iti.
Sanchittam karma.
Brahmaivaham asmi.
Iti.
Nishchaya jnanena. Nashyati.
Agami karma api.
Jnanena. Nashyati.
Kincha agami karmanam.
Kincha agami karmanam. Nalini dala.
Gata.
Jalavat jnaninam. Sambandho nasti.
That's good. Okay. So yesterday we went through what is the agami karma and what is the sanchitta karma. So we have the prarabdha karma to focus on. Repeat after me. Prarabdham karma kim.
Prarabdham karma kim.
Iti chet.
Iti chet.
That iti chet, if you should ask, if you should want to know this, iti chet. Chet means if. So if you want to know this, that's the idea. If you should ask. Prarabdham karma kim. What is the prarabdha karma? What is that? Because we've got the sanchitta, the prarabdha, and the agami. The prarabdha we haven't done yet. So what is the prarabdha karma? So it says, idam shariram
utpadya iha.
Plus E is A. So, idam shariram utpadyeha is utpadya iha. Loke.
Evam.
So the A, when it's followed by a dissim or vowel, can turn to aya and the yakara drops and you get loka. That can be kind of a... you have to remember that, Sunday. Okay. So, loke evam, say.
Loke evam.
Sukha dukha.
Dukha adi pradam.
Sukha dukhadi pradam. Yat karma.
Tat prarabdham.
Bhogena.
bhogena
nashtam
nashtam
bhavati
bhavati
praradha
praradha
karmanam
karmanam
bhogad eva
bhogad eva
kshayaha iti
kshayaha iti.
Okay. So first line is the definition of the prarabdha. Idam shariram. This, idam is this. Shariram means this body, this physical body, the stula sharira. Utpadya, having taken, having gained this, having been born into this physical body, so having taken this physical body. Iha loke, here in this world, this bhuloka, so having taken the physical body here in this world. Then evam means in this manner. So then they say, in this manner, just look at your body. Okay, look at your body, look at your parents. You've taken this birth into a given situation. When you took the birth, you had your parents, you were born in a certain time and place, certain family, certain situation. So you were born with this body into a particular situation. Okay. And it includes your parents and your siblings and all of that. The place of the birth, the time, if you're born in this century, you know, or last century. So in this manner, having taken a body here in this world, sukha dugadi pradam, yet karma. So yet means here, which karma, those karmas which, or that karma which is sukha dugadi pradam, which really gives sukha, dukkha, etc. It is responsible, the prarabdha karma is responsible for this life, the situation that you find yourself in, the situation that you're born in, and actually that takes you all the way through your death, from the birth to the death. That prarabdha karma is playing out. And sometimes the Swamiji would say, you know, in this particular loka, the karmas that come really from the sanchitta at the time of your, when you, at that transitional point when you leave your previous body, you know, and you now are just no longer really influenced by that body, but you're just in this transitional space, at that time the sukshma sharira will attract to itself certain karmas that will make up the prarabdha karma. There can be times also where before you do that, you go into different lokas just to exhaust punya and papa. But eventually you come back here, and when you come back here, that sukshma sharira will, when it's time to come back to this loka, that subtle body will attract certain sanchitta karmas in kind of a balance of punya and papa, which will give you the outline of your life. So the karmas that are going to be unfolding from birth to death is called the prarabdha karma. It's kind of nice to think of it like that. Let me finish this. So sukha dukadi pradam yat karma tat prarabdham. That is called the prarabdha karma. Okay. Bhogena nashtam bhavati. It is exhausted, or something which is going to, with, remember we're talking about the one who has knowledge, the one who has self-knowledge. So say, in the middle of your life, you gain self-knowledge, and you know that you're a karta, that you are Brahman, Satchitatma Brahman. This is all Maya. And so, now that you have that knowledge, if it was knowledge like the rope snake, where it's your subjective projection onto the rope, the snake is a subjective projection onto the rope. So you're walking with some friends. You're the only one that sees the snake. Everybody else sees the rope. And then they say, it's not a snake, it's a rope. Please come back and look. That's your subjective projection. When you see the rope, right, that projection is gone. That maya is gone. Because it comes from your own antakaran. It comes from your own psyche. The projection. So it's subjective, and so when you see what is actually there, that subjective projection, which is of your making, taking place in your mind, that just disappears. But here, the prarabdha karma that's playing out is not your subjective projection. This body, mind, sense organs is Ishwar Srishti. It's Bhagawan's. projection. It's Bhagavan's Maya. And so it's going to be different when you gain knowledge of the reality, because this is, after all, it's just Maya. It's Mithya. It has no being of its own, just like the snake has no being of its own. That's why this rope snake is such a powerful drishtanta, powerful example. Also, with your dream, that's subjective. You know, with your imagination, that's subjective. So when you come back to yourself, that projection is gone completely. It appears and it disappears. You are the Ishwara of that projection. You're not the Ishwara of this one. Right? Ishwara is the Ishwara of this one. And your body, mind, sense organs is part of Ishwara's projection now that it is here. Okay, now that this Shula Sharira is here, it will play out as long as the Prarabdha Karma is here, no matter when you get knowledge. If you get knowledge in the middle, it's not like your Prarabdha Karma, you recognize who you are, the Ajnanam is gone, and this thing should just disappear then. And it would disappear. The whole creation would disappear if it was your subjective projection, right? Subjective imagination. But instead, this is Bhagavan's Maya, of which you are a part. And so when you gain knowledge, nothing happens to the upadis. Nothing happens to these upadis until the karma runs out. When the prarabdha karma runs out, and at that time the body drops, then any of those karmas are over. Right? But you have to live them out. And the karmas that make up the prarabdha karma are only meant for this life from birth to death. When they're over, they're over. And so that's why it says here, it's starting to, in the second part, Bhogena Nishtam Bhavati. This prarabdha is only destroyed, so to speak, through experiencing it. Once you experience it, that prarabdha is over. You know, it's gone. And so it gives a quote, a Shruti quote. I'm not sure where it comes from, but it just says it. Prarabdha karmanam bhogat eva kshaya itihi. So prarabdha karmanam bhogat eva. From the bhoga, from experiencing alone, bhogat eva, from the experiencing of the prarabdha karma, of those karmas that make up the prarabdha, it is kshayaha. It is destroyed, it perishes, only from experiencing it. Prarabdha means that arabdha means that which has begun. So the prarabdha karma is that which has begun when you're born. Right, having taken this body, this prarabdha karma begins and takes you through to the end of your life when it's exhausted, and then this physical body drops. And that is the end of that particular prarabdha karma. So at that point, what you have, you have the sanchitta karma. Also for remember we're talking about the, we're talking about the jnani here. And so, and this is the idea for the jnani, the self-ignorance is gone. And so that desire even to, for the one who has nischa jnanam, it means clarity, you're very clear in this vision, you have aparoksha jnanam, means you recognize your being. It's not far away. You have direct, immediate knowledge of yourself, the buddhi does. And knowing yourself, once the ignorance is removed, this superimposition just becomes mithya. Because yourself that you are, you just simply are, without the ajnanam causing this superimposition. The superimposition is still there because in the satya-mithya relationship, whatever is mithya, as long as it is there, enjoys the sat-chit as its adhishtana. So what that means is, as long as for jivan-mukta, for one who is liberated, as long as this body is here, it will manifest consciousness because of the sukshma-sharira, the subtle body that's indwelling it, through the mind and through the sense of touch. This has that sense of me, you know, it has a sense of being a conscious being. as does your mind and sense organs and the prana, all being enlivened by tuak, by the sense of touch. That sense of meanness of consciousness will remain as long as this upadhi is there, this conditioning object is there. So when you gain self-knowledge, nothing's going to happen to Bhagavan's creation, you know. Something does happen to your subjective understanding, you know, how you now relate to this body, you relate to the body, to the sense organs, to the thoughts, to the vrittis, to your imaginations. They're all there, no problem. They're all still there. It's not like, you gain knowledge and you lose yourself, you know, or your body is still here, but you're not. It's it's not going to happen, you know, because as long as the mitya has no being apart from you, so the you, the meanness always remains. But subjectively, your experience of this creation and of yourself is different because this body, mind, sense organs becomes mitya as soon as you recognize yourself. There is no such thing as mitya until you recognize this being mitya, until you recognize me, the adhishtana. And once you recognize this yourself, this body goes on remaining, but it remains as mitya, so you have the experience of the body, mind, sense organs, and the perceptions and all of that, but it's differentiated from your own being. It enjoys your own being, but your own being, in a sense, doesn't enjoy it. It's like, how can the clay enjoy the pot, or even experience the pot? What's that experience going to be, apart from the clay? Because there really is no different substance there. And so that what happens then is when we gain self-knowledge, we recognize my own being as I am is just me, pure conscious me. That is consciousness itself, being itself. From my own standpoint, there's just me, that wholeness, that ananda. It is like everything that I would want to be is exactly who I am, but without any duality. It's kind of hard until you really get to recognize yourself, because you'll think, yeah, but you know, I want all this duality. That's fine. You'll have it. You'll have all of this duality until the prarabdha karma runs out. You know? But you think you want it, but actually what you want from it, you want something from it. You don't want it when it's making you miserable. Right? You want something from it, and what you want from it is who you actually are, which is that wholeness, that ananda, that all is well with me, that I am complete in myself. They have this this saying that we say for the jnani. It's kritta krityaha. A jnani is kritta krityaha. One who is kritta krityaha. Krityaha means that which is to be done. Kritta, that has been done. Whatever is to be done, that has been done. All is well. Another way they talk about the jnani is the one who has this alam buddhi. The alam buddhi is nice. In the world, we have the alam buddhi, especially in sleep. If you've slept enough, you're ready to get up. It's enough. I've had enough sleep. And that way, alam buddhi is there. It's time to get up. You can stretch it out and stretch it out. Let me sleep just a little bit more. But alam buddhi isn't there. You know? A little bit more. Okay, time to get up. I didn't want to sleep anymore. I'm fine. I want to get up. That's the alam buddhi, all as well. Alam buddhi, also we have it in terms of food. You know, if you eat, you love the food. It's wonderful and wonderful. But there comes a time when that, okay, it's enough, that alam buddhi is there. Swamiji always jokes that when we're having a bhiksha or something and we have these grass, I mean, what do you call it, these leaves, banana leaves that the people come around, the servers come around with big buckets of food. One person after another with this bucket is just automatically going like that. The next person comes automatically going like this. It's all landing on your plate 2 times, 3 times. At some time you go, no, alam, alam. You know? on your hands. Often it'll land on your hands. Because they're just, you know, going along with it. No. Alam, alam, it's enough. You can't take any more. There's no room for anything more. It's fine. So we have that alam buddhi, you know, relatively. Because then you get hungry again at some point. You get tired again at some point. But here that alam buddhi has to do with myself, where I don't want anything. Everything is alum. Everything is enough. It's fine. Do you need this? No, I'm fine. Do you want this? This is Swamiji talking. Do you need that? No, I'm fine. Would you like to have this? No, everything's fine. Do you need this? No, it's everything's fine. Everything's fine. Because everything's fine. You don't want anything because everything is fine. That's the alum buddhi. That's the nature of your being, is that wholeness or that fullness. So, in reference to the prarabdha karma, you know, when you gain this knowledge, means your mind is really resting in yourself. You have that alam buddhi, you know, everything is fine. I don't want anything from this creation, and so how do I experience the creation when I don't want anything from it? I'm not asking anything from it. Then it is just Ishwara. I am just have this extraordinary experience when I have that alam buddhi, when we have that, and that self-recognition, of walking through myself. This whole thing is nothing but Ishwara. And so everything is kind of wonderful and exciting. What dampens that wonder and that kind of prayerful gratitude is a desire. That's all you need. Just a binding desire. That comes up in the jiva's there looking around, you know. But when that jiva becomes more and more mitya, the desires become more and more non-binding. Because honestly, they can't compete with your own nature. Your sukha and dukkha are all relative. In the Upanishads, they'll say like your sukha is just alesha. It's just a tiny little bit and momentary bit of your own being reflected in that shantavritti. It has no comparison to yourself. They're different orders of reality. It's not like yourself is like fireworks of Ananda going off. Yourself as you are is right here, right now. That's why people get confused because of this word bliss. And they used to ask Swamiji this all the time. You know, I'm not feeling bliss, though, Swamiji. When will I feel the bliss? The idea is that the Satchit Ananda, I understand the sat, I understand the chit, but I need more antakarana shuddhi, or I need more meditation, or I need something to be able to experience the ananda. You know? That's because of this word bliss, because ananda is translated as bliss. The ananda that needs to be recognized is completely present right now. So when you recognize what they mean, it'll be, oh, that's what they mean by ananda. It is not hidden at all from you, except for the non-recognition of what we mean by ananda. Then you realize, oh, that's what it is, and I'm always that at all times, and the mind can't cover that. So that's why when we use this word ananda, using this word beloved, or that which is most dear, that recognizing that in contemplation. I used to ask myself, or probably because I think Swamiji did meditations like this, something like this, like when you're contemplating, the Buddha can ask, you know, why did they say I'm Ananda? What is that? How am I the most dear? What is the most dear? It's a wonderful meditation to just kind of play around with that. Till you really realize the fact of it, that there is nothing more dear than you. Right? So this, gaining this recognition, so when we say aparoksha jnanam, the word recognition is a good word. It's a recognition of something that of yourself that is already here. That word recognition separates the type of knowledge from like intellectual academic understanding. It's actually a recognition of the truth of my being, differentiated from the upadis that I had taken myself to be. So that direct, immediate, now if I use the word here, immediate, it means that recognition is not away from me. Right? It's immediate, it's close, it is not even close, it is me. Right? And so in that direct, immediate recognition of my own self that I've always been and always will be, that is what we call this this viveka jnanam, or this nischaya jnanam, where I'm very clear about myself. I'm very clear. I recognize myself. I know myself. I can, if I say it, like say if we do a meditation, and sometimes I'll do this, I like to do this particular meditation. Let the buddhi just recognize yourself, turn toward yourself. Now just be yourself. It's a little subtle difference there. You recognize yourself. Now be yourself. Because one is the buddhi is turning toward me. The other is just being me, recognizing I am that buddhi that is turning toward me. So that the buddhi gets to rest in me. But now just be the me that the buddhi is turning toward. And then you recognize that tremendous freedom there. That's the aparoksha jnanam that we call nishchaya, free. It's free from doubt. You know, it's clarity. There's clarity there, and when it's and free from doubt. When that's the case, you gain this knowledge. You have this brahma jnanam. You know yourself very, very well. But you are still subject to the prarabdha karmas unfolding, right? And so those prarabdha karma, so you get knowledge in the middle of your life, you have a whole half life left, half of your life is left, and that will be unfolding sukha and dukkha, sukha and dukkha, sukha and dukkha, and you will experience sukha and dukkha, sukha and dukkha in a somewhat different way. I mean, it's obvious when a very conducive experiences happen that are conducive to a shantavritti. You know that. It's not that you don't know that. But yourself is free of the shantavritti. Yourself isn't made better by the shantavritti. The shantavritti is made better. You know, the mind is made better by the shantavritti. And by better, I mean you're more at home with it. Because it just reflects you. But you are different than the shantavritti. The me doesn't become happier with a shantavritti, and it doesn't become sad with a dukkavritti. So you have, as a jnani and as an ajnani, of course, you have the punya and papa that make up the prarabdha karma. You know, so these situations arise, okay, like Swamiji or somebody will say, okay, well that papa karma is over now of the prarabdha. No, good, we got rid of little dukkha is gone now. That prarabdha is gone. The sukha prarabdha is gone too. It just keeps passing through. Nothing at all happens to you. You remain just yourself, untouched. And this prarabdha goes on exhausting itself until it's exhausted and then the body is gone. And you are now completely free of the prarabdha karma experiences. Right? Because they're not there anymore. So it says here, the prarabdha karmanam bhogat eva, only from the enjoyment of this prarabdha karma that is taking you through the life does it exhaust itself, kshayaha. Okay. But then we have the sanchitta and the agami karmas. What happens to those for the jnani? This is the issue here. For the jnani, even while living, and of course after the body drops, there is no kartritvam, there is no doership for the self. There is no enjoyership for the self. There is just my being. Right? And so I have no identity. Even as a jivan mukta means living liberated, you have no real identity with the doership. It's as mitya as the enjoyership. It's as mitya as the body, mind, sense organs. It's not you, right? It's not you. For you, there's just the Satchidananda Atma, that doesn't have hands and legs and mind, that all belong, all of this duality belongs to the world, to the upadis, not to you. And so for you, you are always the same. There's no doership, there's no enjoyership, there's no knowership, seer, hearer, thinker. All of these things belong to the upadis. So, what happens, this is the question that we're dealing with now, what happens for the jnani, you know, what happens to all the jnani's karmas? It means these karma palas, right? The results, the unmanifest results of one's actions. So the karma palas, what happens to those? And now we're only talking in terms, as we'll see as we go on, we're not talking about the drishta karma palas. The drishta, remember drishta, adrishta? Drishta means the karma palas, the results of the, pala means like fruit or result. So the results of my karmas are the karma palas. So if I say, this is my karma, you know, that mean, I mean this is the result of my actions. And so the results of my actions here and now, whether you're jnani or ajnani, they produce karma that you experience. If you go get a glass of water and drink the water, you had a desire for the water, you go and get a glass of water, you drink the water, that's the karma pala. You know, you've satisfied yourself by drinking that water. That's the drishta karmas. Also, you, as a jnani, any action that you do or in any relationship, say you say something that hurts somebody's feelings or whatnot, you may not have meant to do that or hurt the person's feelings, but you did. You know? And so you will experience that whole thing. It's not like you won't experience that pain or that sorrow or feeling badly because you hurt the person's feelings. Or you may think, I wish I hadn't said it in that way, or wish I hadn't done that. You have all of those. Those are all drishta. So whether you're jnani or ajnani, these drishta, the results of your actions on this level of experience, they take place. Jnani, ajnani, you're not free from the karma palas within this creation. Okay? Because they happen right here and now, and the upadis that receive these karma palas are still here, right? But for the atma, even here itself, the drishta palas are having an effect on you, these seeing karma palas, these seeing results, experience results of the action, they have an effect on you. You meaning who? Your mind, your sense organs, your body. They have an effect. What if you overeat? Your body gets fat. What if you exercise and you eat appropriately so that your body is the good weight for you, and you do your exercise, you do your yoga and pranayama, your body reaps the results of that, you know? So your mind, you have a dharmic mind. Your mind reaps the results of that, whether you're jnani or ajnani, you know? So the drishta palas remain either way. The laws are there, and they don't go away for the jnani or the ajnani. The way that I receive the karma palas, the drishta palas, will be different. You know, because I don't have any kind of binding desire, and myself, the atma, is not changing by the drishta palas. It means the palas that I'm experiencing here in the world. So we're not talking here about drishta palas for jnani or ajnani, because they take place here and they exhaust themselves here. You know, they're the immediate results of your action. We're talking here in this discussion, we're talking about the adrishta palas. The adrishta palas are the palas that the karmas that are in that form of that bija, in a form of a bija, a seed form, that are waiting for in the next life or an appropriate situation where then they can become part of the prarabdha karma. The sanchitta will become part of the prarabdha karma and will be able to fulfill themselves. So now, for ajnani, once this body dies, this prarabdha is over, this body is gone, what happens to the body? The body dies just like the Agnani's bodies die. It goes back into its elements. So that's the same. The body, the prarabdha is out for the Jnani or the Agnani. It runs out. The body just goes back into the physical elements. But what happens to the sukshma sharira, which is made of the sattva and rajas and tamas aspect of the subtle elements? What happens to it? For the Jnani, because there is no avidya or ajnanam there, there is no ahankara that identifies with this body, mind, sense organs, nor is there, because no ahankara means the aham rests in me, in the atma. You know, that's for ajnani in this body also, that ahankara is only mitya, the aham lands on me, on Brahman, on who I actually am. So when this body dies, physical body is there, that aham is still with me. And also, I have that as a jnani, that alam buddhi. I don't need or want anything else. Everything else is only me, actually. There is nothing but me. And my body, my mind, that's there just is resting in myself at the time of death. There is no gasoline. There is no ajnanam there. There's no ahankara there to say, to want to go on for another birth. There's only that, the only one that's there is the self. The only point of identity is the self. And so the sukshma sharira is shed. And what happens to it is it all goes back to its subtle elements. So that for the jnani, I just abide as the self, as myself, and as with the Ishwara upadhi, because that is the nature of Brahman. Brahman plus Maya is Ishwara, so Maya is a natural, incidental attribute of the self. So I just abide as Ishwara. There's no transmigration for me, nor is there any death experience. No, there's no travel. Where are you going to travel when this body dies? Because we say when somebody dies, we actually say, Swamiji brings us up, that person is departed. They've departed. They're leaving. They're going on to continue their travels, taking birth after birth after birth. But when a jnani dies, there's no departure. The body drops. The sukshma sharira goes back to the subtle elements, you know. But I just am. There's no time or space or movement for the self, so I just simply am. So that being the case, the question comes up, well, what happens to the person's karmas? Means the punyapapa, the adrishta karmas, those karmapalas, they're already there. What where do they go for the jnani? For the ajnani, you take them all with you, except for the prarabdha karma, which gets done through, it gets exhausted. But the other, the sanchitta, goes along with you. The agami goes into the sanchitta until it gets a chance to be exhausted. So this all travels with you. So here it says, sanchittam karma, brahma eva aham asmi iti nischaya jnanena nashyati. Did we chant that? Mm-hmm. Okay. So the sanchitta karma, brahmevaham asmi iti nischa jnanena, by this firm recognition that I am Brahman, means the aham lands on me, not on anupadi. So that firm, clear recognition that I am Brahman, by that the sanchitta karma is destroyed, because there's no one for me, there's no one there to own it. You know? And so from my standpoint, it's gone, it's destroyed, because it doesn't have anything to attach on to. Then, let's do this next one. Agami karma api.
Agami karma api.
Jnanena nashyati.
Jnanena nashyati.
Kincha.
Kincha.
Agami karmanam.
Agami karmanam.
Nalini dala.
Nalini dala.
Gata.
Gata.
Jalavat.
Jalavat.
Jnaninam.
Jnaninam.
Sambandha.
Sambandha.
Na asti.
Na asti.
So now what about the agami karmas, the karmas that I collect in this life itself? So it says, The agamic karmas also, like the sanchitta karmas, they're destroyed by knowledge. Knowledge means that aparoksha jnanam. Kincha, and further, the agami karmanam, nalini dala gata jalavat, like these, further, for the agami karmas, okay, for the agami karmas, like, oh, jala, okay, like that water that is on a nalini dala, that's a lotus leaf. If you put a drop of water on a lotus leaf, it doesn't touch the lotus. It kind of sits on the top and rolls off. I think they have little tiny hairs or something, so that the lotus leaf doesn't even get wet. The petal, it doesn't get wet; all just rolls right off. Not touching it. So like that for the jnani, all of these agami karmas that are taking place, like that, because as long as you're alive, you're going to be doing this and this and this. But they don't touch me in any way. There's nothing, I'm not affected, the self is not affected by these karmas that I do. Because it never has been affected, never will be affected. It's just now you recognize nothing happens to you. It's always been that way. Now you know it. And so these karmas take place, but there's no one to receive the karmas because I am just the Satchit Atma, the Adhishtana of everything and everyone that would have karmas. That doesn't touch me. Just like the karmas in your dream or the karmas in your imagination, say these dream characters are doing this and that and they're just accruing all kinds of karmas. But when you wake up or when you come out of that imagination, those karmas belong to them, not to you. Did you ever think that you were accruing the karmas of the characters in your dream? I don't think so. Or in your imagination, oh my God, look what they did. Now I'm going to really have to pay for that. Oh, you don't have to pay for anything. You didn't do anything. Like that, I haven't done anything ever, in fact, other than just be the non-dual self that I am. So there is no accrual of any type of karma for me. So the karmas that are taking place with this, in this upadhi, in this world, they just simply roll off. Okay, we're going to stop here because I want to finish this in the next class and I don't want to have to squash things together and try to finish it now. Okay.
Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.